Well, happy Delaware Crossing Day. I mean, as you know, this Tuesday's December 25th. That's the day that we celebrate Washington's crossing of the Delaware River in 1776. It was a very important event in the Revolutionary War. It occurred on December 25th. I mean, it's also the day that we remember the Battle of Okeechobee in 1837, you know, between the U.S. forces and the Seminole Indians that occurred on December 25th. Now, on top of that, okay, it's the day that we celebrate President Andrew Johnson granting unconditional pardon in 1868 to everyone involved in the Civil War. Occurred on December 25th. And for the sports fans, it's the day we celebrate the first indoor baseball game in 1888 in Philadelphia that occurred on December 25th. Some little kids are saying, "What?" Well, Christmas. Let's talk about this. Okay, if you didn't know, this is an extremely popular holiday. I did some research and discovered that it's celebrated by over 2 billion people worldwide. So that's about one-third of the planet. In the United States, okay, over 95% of businesses shut down to give their employees time off on Christmas Day. And, of course, schools, they commonly take a week or longer break. It plays a key role in the economy of our nation, as many of the retailers in this country count on 20 to 40% of their annual profits to come from it. And it's estimated that Americans will spend around $720 billion on gifts this year. That's not including decorations or food. Americans buy between 25 and 30 million real Christmas trees and between 15 and 20 million artificial Christmas trees each year. Americans send around 2 billion Christmas cards each year. And some polls, they show that 96% of Americans admit to celebrating it, and even 81% of non-Christians in this country celebrate it, according to Pew Research Center. Now, there's something interesting happening that it should have been expected. You know, in many places, it's no longer politically correct to say Merry Christmas. You see, the world wants to disassociate any form of religious orientation to this time of year. They have taken the Bible and prayer from the public schools. They have taken nativity scenes, crosses, and the Ten Commandments from public places. They are attempting to remove the name of God from the Pledge of Allegiance and our money. And now Christmas is on their list. And the goal, it seems to be, to completely secularize our society. Well, that's what the world does. So anyway, instead of saying Merry Christmas, they often say Happy Holidays, which of course is just shortened for Holy Days. When they figure that out, they're going to have to find something else to say. And there are all kinds of, you know, extremes and confusion in the Christian world. Some churches will dismiss the assembly if Christmas lands on a Sunday so they can spend time with their families. Some will put up a big Christmas tree in the church building and Santa will visit the worship assembly. Some will have a special worship assembly with particular rituals like a candlelit service on Christmas Eve. Some churches just ignore it and they carry on as if it didn't exist. And some outright condemn anything to do with it, and they're actually preaching a series this month on why we shouldn't participate in Christmas in any way. And there are extremes on the individual level as well, because you see, some Christians believe in putting out a nativity scene, and then other Christians say, well, you shouldn't even send a religious Christmas card. And so you can find all of these different positions here in Rolla. Well, I read an article in one Christian magazine. It was called The Top 10 Reasons Why I Don't Celebrate Christmas, which brings me to my sermon this morning. Now, I want to examine some of the arguments that are used by those who preach against Christmas. So let's see if they're valid. And you've probably heard some of these. And there are those of you who will agree with my conclusions and those who will not. Okay, so let's look at these. Objections to Christmas. Well, the first one is that Christmas is driven by commercialism. Well, this is true. I mean, it's not difficult to recognize what seems to be the main focus and what really drives this holiday in our age. And many people, they're upset about this. They're worried that they're taking Christ out of Christmas. And they say things like, don't forget, he's the reason for the season. And the columnist, Cal Thomas, he wrote, why participate any longer in this charade when the focal point of worship has shifted from a babe in a manger to a babe in the Victoria's Secret window? No room in the inn has been replaced by no room in the mall parking lot. And he went on. Well, I don't know if that bothers me as much as it does him. And you'll see why as I go through this sermon. And no, I don't condone the Victoria's Secret windows. Well, others, like the Christmas resistance movement on the internet, they say things like, you know holiday shopping is offensive and wasteful. You know Christmas wish lists and gift exchanges degrade the concept of giving. You know Christmas marketing is a scam, benefiting manufacturers, stores, and huge corporations while driving individuals into debt. You know this annual consumer frenzy wreaks havoc on the environment, filling landfills with useless packaging and discarded gifts. But that doesn't really bother me too much either. Just have a little bit of self-control. Look, there's nothing wrong with buying gifts for others. As Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Something that does bother me is when people commercialize Christ. I don't believe using Christ and his name to simply sell our products and services during this time of year gives him honor. I think we need to be careful about commercializing the Son of God or anything else that might profane his name. See, are we treating him as holy and set apart? Or are we treating him in a common or vulgar way? And that's why personally, okay, this is me. I have a problem singing a song like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and then following it up with a song about Jesus Christ as if he belongs in the same category. I get worried, okay, when we treat Jesus as something common. What does the Bible say about him? Well, it says that he is above all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. It says that at his name every knee should bow. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. It says that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Revelation 17, 14. He is referred to as the great high priest, Hebrews 4, 14. He's referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 22, 13, and so forth. My point is, I just think we need to be careful. And commercializing him is one way to possibly profane his holy name. Okay, another argument is that Christmas is nowhere mentioned in the Bible and that Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. Now, again, this is true. See, the books of the New Testament cover 30-plus years of Jesus' life and then another 30-plus years of the church, the early church after his resurrection. But nowhere do we find even a hint of a Christmas celebration. See, the fact of Jesus' birth, the place, the purpose, but those things are clearly taught in the Scriptures. But the truth is, we don't know when he was born. And the Bible, it doesn't ask us to remember his birth in a special way. Jesus was born, okay, toward the beginning of the first century. The church began about 33 years later. But according to the different encyclopedias that I consulted, the observance or the celebration of the birth of Jesus, it didn't start until sometime in the late second century. And there were different dates used. Well, the date of December 25th, it wasn't agreed upon until the fourth century. And the term Christmas itself wasn't even coined until the 11th century. Now, it's kind of hard to track down, but the date of December 25th, it seems to have been ordered by Liberius, Bishop of Rome, in the year 354. And since that time, it's been followed pretty consistently. Now, there are usually two biblical reasons given as to why December 25th is probably not the date Jesus was born. And the first is Luke 2:8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Okay, shepherds do not have their flocks out in the open at night around Bethlehem in December. They do that in the warmer months when the ground is more productive. And I've read that October is usually the latest. And no, it's not the Alps, but December weather there is, it's pretty cold and said to be with rain, hail, sometimes snow. And the second, well, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, because it tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem because his parents had to go there to register in a Roman census. The Romans were well known as highly efficient administrators, and they probably would not have taken a census like this in the dead of winter, when temperatures are cold, traveling is difficult due to road conditions. So taking a census at that time, well, it'd probably be self-defeating. Now, some people who hold to this objection, they also argue that the Christians in Galatia were pushing and binding certain days as holy, and they received a blistering condemnation from Paul. Galatians 4, 10 and 11, it says, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain." That's not a bad argument. As you know, a lot of people, they only go to church at Christmas. Polls show that about 65% of Americans attend religious services during Christmas, whereas it's only 20 to 40% of Americans go to church on an average weekend. But Jesus is Lord in January through November as well, isn't he? And so some people could get the wrong impression, and so it's argued by some that we could even distort Christianity by promoting Christmas. I could be wrong, but as a church, I think it might be wrong to promote it in a special way. Now, I'm not talking about preaching, teaching, and singing about the birth, because that is obviously biblical. What I'm talking about is observing and promoting a holy day. But what about an individual? Grab a Bible, if you would. Now, let's turn over to Romans chapter 14. Now, this is the section of Scripture that tells us to accept one another, even though we don't always agree in matters of opinion or personal judgment or personal conviction. That's a fairly long reading, but I think it's important to get the whole section. Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. I think more Christians need to learn this passage. "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God.' So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." So, you see, we are to accept one another, even though we don't always agree in these matters of opinion or personal judgment. And this is not talking about doctrine. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, etc. There are things that are not revealed in the Word of God. Okay, a lot of specific things the Bible doesn't talk about. We're not to look down our noses at or condemn others for their opinions in these areas. Look, there's always going to be difference, these different opinions and different levels of knowledge among brethren. And to a certain extent, these have got to be accommodated for the sake of Christian unity. We don't have a word from the Lord on celebrating Christmas or not. And so we need to be careful about binding our opinions. So we need to be careful to speak where the Bible speaks and not go beyond what the Scriptures say. Now, let's take another look at verses 5 and 6. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. So would it be wrong for a brother on his own, okay, to set aside a day in the year to study and remember the birth of Jesus? Okay, Paul is apparently saying that there's nothing wrong with that. But of course, this man can't bind it on others. And that seems to have been the problem in Galatia. And so that's why I recommend we don't do anything as a church, because that would bind it on you, and you may have some scruples against it. Okay, like my family. We don't put out a nativity scene. I mean, we don't even put a star on our Christmas tree. But I think according to this passage, it's okay to do that. As an individual, you can elevate one day above another. See, in these things that are matters of opinion, I'm not the judge. And others, they don't answer to me. They'll answer to God. Romans 14:10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Well, we can see from the rest of the chapter that a lot of it has to do with conscience. Okay, if you have a conscience against celebrating Christmas in any way, then you shouldn't do it. But, okay, I don't believe you have a right to judge your brother in this regard, one side or the other. Okay, a third argument that you will often hear is that Christmas comes from pagan origins and is largely a recycled pagan celebration. And this as well seems to be true, at least somewhat. Just look up Christmas in any encyclopedia. For example, the Encarta Encyclopedia says, Christmas originated in the 4th century as a Christian substitute for pagan celebrations of the winter solstice. The Catholic Church hoped to draw pagans into its religion by allowing them to continue their revelry while simultaneously honoring the birthday of Jesus. Now, some people try to argue against that, but from everything I've read, that is correct. See, since many of the pagans, they were already involved in these celebrations during that time of year, like Saturnalia and the Sol Invictus festivals. Well, the Catholic Church, which had come to full development by that time, they decided to make good use of it. And so they assigned it for honoring the birth of Christ. And so the purpose was to replace a pagan celebration with a Christian one. And the truth is that many of these Christmas symbols and traditions that we have today, they apparently came from pagan roots. I mean, I researched a bit, and I discovered some things that might curl your toes. The birthday of more than one pagan god was celebrated on December 25th, or close to it. Decorating trees, evergreen boughs, holly, mistletoe, yule logs, gift-giving, caroling, and many others, even some of the aspects of Santa Claus, they seem to come from paganism, and they sometimes symbolized very ungodly things. Originally, as Mike Nichols, this guy's a neo-pagan, as he said, our Christian friends are often quite surprised at how enthusiastically we pagans celebrate the Christmas season. In fact, if truth be known, the holiday of Christmas has always been more pagan than Christian, with its associations of Nordic divination, Celtic fertility rites, and Roman Mithraism. So, okay, the question is, should we be that concerned about its origins? Because this has been an argument of many Christians throughout the ages against the celebration of Christmas. Luther, Calvin, the Puritans, etc. Okay, it was even made illegal in Boston for a while because of this. See, celebrating Christmas, it carried a 5-shilling fine. Look that up sometime. 5 shillings was a lot back then. Well, people, they will often point then to 2 Corinthians 6 that says that we are not to be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And of course, it also says to come out from their midst and be separate. And so they conclude that since Christmas has pagan origins, well, we shouldn't participate in any way, shape, or form. And I can respect that line of reasoning. But I think Christmas falls more in line with 1 Corinthians 8 and 10. You see, there were people in Corinth who had been converted out of pagan religions, where they worshipped idols and they ate meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And so after they became Christians, they often had a conscience against eating meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. Well, in 1 Corinthians 8 and 10, Paul, he had a lot of instructions on what you ought to do in that situation concerning your conscience with regard to pagan origins. And he explained that there's really nothing wrong with buying meat at the market that may have been sacrificed to an idol. Okay, it's just meat, and there's only one true God. A pork chop's a pork chop's a pork chop. But if you were converted out of paganism, you might have a conscience against doing it. And so if you think it's wrong, you shouldn't do it. Paul also told them, both to those who had a conscience about it and those who didn't, just don't ask where the meat came from. Because if you don't know the origin, then you are free. And so maybe we should apply that to Christmas, and we shouldn't go digging too much into origins. It's a little bit too late for me. Look, is there anything inherently wrong with decorating an evergreen coniferous tree? Is there anything wrong with giving presents wrapped in colorful paper or eating a big meal? Of course not. We're so far removed from the origin of it that very few know or see the paganism in this holiday. Well, another argument that you'll often hear is that, well, we don't want to be associated with the Roman Catholic Church since, well, they're the ones who started this holiday. And it's argued that, well, you know, we're trying to simply be non-denominational New Testament Christians. See, we want to be the people of God, the religion of God that merely follows the Word of God. And so because of that, some have decided not to participate in Christmas in any way, shape, or form. Okay, no gifts, no cards, no tree, nothing. A full-on boycott. But, well, real quick, one problem is that there is always some observance of Christmas in this country, whether you like it or not. Okay, during the month of December, many businesses, they play Christmas music over the speakers. Do you put earplugs in before you go into that business? If you work at a store, well, the store closes its doors on Christmas and gives all the workers a day off. Do you still go to work? If they give you a Christmas bonus, all right, do you accept it? You see, there is going to be some observance. Now, there are those who will bring up that the name even developed out of Catholicism, which means Christ's Mass, okay, a Mass in honor of Christ, and so we shouldn't use it. But you notice that we use the term January in honor of the pagan god Janus. February, okay, that's named after a pagan festival of spiritual cleansing. March, in honor of the pagan god Mars. May, the goddess Maya. June, the goddess Juno. We use Sunday, the sun god. Monday, the moon god. Wednesday, Woden's day. Thursday, Thor's day. Saturday, Saturn's day. Okay, look, we use the names, but we don't associate paganism with the months of the year or the days of the week. Is a name really that big of a deal? You know, I mean, if you say goodbye, okay, that comes from the expression, God be with ye. But who knows that? Who associates it with that? Even atheists say goodbye. To millions of people, Christmas does not mean a mass for Christ. It's simply a time for family and friends to get together, exchange gifts, eat a lot of good food, and gain 7 to 10 pounds. Remember, 81% of non-Christians in America celebrate it. and for others. For others, they simply use it as a time to remember the birth of Christ. Okay, one final argument that I have heard is that Jeremiah 10 condemns the Christmas tree. Jeremiah 10, 3 through 4, says, "For the Christmas of the people," "the customs of the people are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it will not totter." Well, the problem is he's clearly talking about idolatry, not Christmas. Read the whole chapter. He's talking about people in his day cutting down a tree, shaping it into an image, decorating it, then bowing down to it as a god. I am certainly not doing that with my Christmas tree. It's simply a decoration that makes my house smell good on the years when I actually get a real one. So, what are we going to do with Christmas? Well, God has not legislated, and so neither can we. Now, again, I believe that there is a difference between the whole church and the individual Christian. It's because of the different positions. I think we probably shouldn't do it as a church, but before you judge or look down your nose at your brother, keep in mind that Romans chapter 14, verse 5, it does say that an individual can elevate, can choose to observe a special day or not. Yes, in reality, Christmas came from paganism through Catholicism, but it has turned, for the most part, into just a national American holiday. And I personally don't see any problem with celebrating it as that. It's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it. My kids, they agree with that song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I remember Esther when she was a little girl. Sometimes she'd get the wrapping paper and the tape without us knowing. And she'd wrap up half of the house before we finally got it away from her. She would have wrapped up her brother if he wouldn't have quit crawling away. Look, this time of year brings out some really good things. Is spending time with friends and family a good thing? Are kindness and generosity and giving gifts and feelings of love, joy, and peace among men good things? Sure, I mean, wouldn't it be great to keep the spirit of Christmas as an attitude all the time? I think so. And if more people want to think about Jesus during this time of year, man, that's obviously wonderful. But for us, let's remember him all year round, not just at Christmas. We don't really know when he was born. No, we weren't asked to remember the birth of Jesus in a special way. But we were certainly asked to remember his death on the cross in the Lord's Supper. That's something that we do each Sunday. There are some people, it seems that they like to just remember him on Christmas. And I wonder if it's because they want to keep him as a baby. You see, that cute little baby in the manger, he doesn't demand anything. You could just love and coo at him. But that man on the cross, that's a very different story. He demands much, your entire life. And so if this morning, if you have not submitted your life to him, that man on the cross, you can do that today.